The vacant house looked haunted, large and imposing, with a full moon hanging directly behind. The old Victorian cast a grotesque shadow across the snow, and the windows shone like so many eyes. Ignoring the goose flesh that prickled her arms, Lucky Caldwell stood on the ornate porch, braced against a chill wind as she pushed the heavy front door a little wider. She didn't really want to venture inside now that it had grown so late. The house had sat empty long enough that rats, possums, raccoons, or other crawling things could easily have taken over. Or maybe she'd find some mass murderer hiding in one of the rooms. If she was anywhere else, she'd head into town and get a motel for the night. But as soon as even one person in Dundee spotted the distinctive strawberry blonde hair she'd inherited from her mother, word would spread all over town that she was back. And she didn't want to alert anyone to her return just yet. She needed to get her bearings. Coming here was a risk, a huge risk, and she'd never been as lucky as her name. The floor creaked as she stepped across the threshold. Instinctively, she reached for the light switch, but then paused. Somehow, waltzing inside and lighting up the place seemed too brazen. She didn't belong here. She'd never belonged here. But she didn't belong anywhere else, either. Marshaling her nerve, she flipped the light switch anyway. Nothing happened. The pace of life in Dundee was maddeningly slow, but evidently not so slow that Mike Hill, the executor of the Caldwell Family Trust, hadn't gotten around to having the utility company switch off the electricity, which, after 6 years, didn't come as any big surprise. She'd inherited this rambling Victorian when Morris died and hadn't been back since. During that time, she'd received a couple of calls from Fred Winston, the town's only real estate agent and a man she remembered as wearing a cheap brown toupee. He'd told her the paint was peeling and the porch was sagging and asked if she wanted to sell. But she knew who wanted to buy, and the answer had been and still was, no. At least, not yet. She had unfinished business here in Idaho. She set her backpack on the dusty floor and searched for her flashlight. Unfortunately, it was already on when she found it and, judging by the weak beam, had been on for several hours. Lucky considered returning to her car for the extra set of batteries. She'd had to park out front because the roof on the garage had collapsed. But she was afraid she'd lose her nerve if she turned back now. Better to forge ahead. She hefted her backpack to her shoulder, trained the dim light in front of her, and left the door open in case she encountered something or someone she'd rather not meet. Entering the formal living room, she quickly swept the light around the perimeter. Nothing moved, but the familiarity of the place evoked bittersweet memories. As bad as her childhood had been, she'd been truly happy for a few short months while living in this house. Especially that first Christmas after her mother had married Morris. In the dark, cobwebby corner to her left, she could easily imagine the splendid tree that had once stood there, proudly bearing 1,000 twinkling lights and an abundance of shiny gold balls. That was the first time her family had possessed enough money to buy a tree any taller than a token 3 or 4 feet. And to have it flocked with fake snow and decorated so elegantly was really an extravagance. Every year since she'd become an adult, Lucky bought as big a tree as her current abode would allow and always flocked it, on principle. But she'd been living off the money she'd inherited from Morris, which was barely enough to get by on, since she gave most of it away. In order to keep traveling, she'd had to cut down on expenses. The places she'd been renting for a few months here and 6 weeks there had low ceilings and generally weren't the nicest, which meant she'd never been able to duplicate the opulence of that damn tree.